Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin the second perek of Maseches Nida at the top of Daf Yud Gimel. Before we begin today's Daf, let us glance at the margin where we have something entitled a Nosei Klali, Ad Omud Beis, a general topic that will preoccupy today's Gemara until Omud Beis, and it has to do with Mini'ah Mizera Levatola. This is a call to men to restrain themselves or create a situation where they will not release or have a male emission. The male emission is referred to as Shichvas Zera. And in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, there is a very great premium placed on all efforts made to withhold a person from having this kind of release. The Mishnah, before we begin, we have a topic heading for this, and we've written on the side, Ribui Bedikos, the many checkings, Eitzel Gvorim V'Noshim, checkings of a person, male and female, at those respective parts of their anatomy, to ensure that they are not Tomei. A man will become Tomei if he has a male emission, and a female becomes Tomei with the release of blood, of a blood flow. The Mishnah deals with the issue of checkings to determine whether or not the man or the woman is Tomei. So the topic here has to do with a lot of checkings, many checkings, Eitzel Gvorim V'Noshim, by men and women. Haim ze nechshav l'shvach o l'gnai. Is this a positive thing or a negative thing? The Mishnah. Kol hayad hamar belivdoik. The hand, the person that engages in a lot of checkings. V'Noshim mishubachas. In the case of women, it's something praiseworthy. This way, she will ensure that she is not Tamea, and she will not come to have a violation or a sin in the course of intimacy with her husband. And these checkings, as we've mentioned in previous Gemaras, have to do with the insertion of a white checking cloth into that area to determine that there is no, that it remains white, no signs of red staining, which is a function of blood flow. Uba'anoshim, when it comes to males that check themselves in that part of their anatomy, the male, which involves handling the male organ, this is something tiktzatz. The Mishnah uses a very harsh expression and says that, that such a hand should be cut off. And the reason for that is that the handling of the male organ can result in an arousal or the increasing the possibility of an emission to take place. And as we said in our introductory remarks, that Yiddishkeit looks very, very negatively upon this kind of release. Maybe we can add that the male release has in it the seed of man, the possibility, the potential for procreation, and the release of that in any form other than in intimacy with one's wife is viewed as reprehensible. The Gemara. Maishno noshim umaishno anoshim. What is the difference between men and noshim are women and men? The Mishnah compliments women and condemns men who engage in increased or in a lot of checkings. The Gemara answers, noshim lav v'nei hargoshen inhu mishubachos. The insertion of the checking cloth there does not cause any form of arousal, and hence there is no problem involved. Anoshim debnei hargosha ninu, men who at that point of their anatomy are experience sensitivity and could result in a release of the seed of the male fluid, tiktsats. The hand that does engage in that is deserving of being cut off. The Gemara asks, Ihochi mai irya marbe, if the fear is of because of the sensitivity and arousal that could result and the release, so why does the Mishnah speak about lots of checkings, kilo marbe nami, even if it's a one-time checking, the same prohibition should apply. Why does the Mishnah give us an impression that the problem is only because of multitude of checkings? The Gemara answers, ki kotoni marbe, the word marbe in the Mishnah is really there for a noshim. Be very careful in the reading. The aleph is a prefix. It's not part of the word itself. It's a is like in Hebrew we use the word al, means regarding. A noshim. The marbe is in the Mishnah to teach us regarding females, women. In the case of women, a lot of checking is something that is praiseworthy, because every checking, then we can establish that at that point she is no longer tumea, or if tuma is revealed, in other words, a blood flow is revealed, so then fine, we've established her to be tumea, so that any opportunity to clarify her status is welcome. Tana, Bamed Vomumurim, the Inyan Shichva Zera. The issue concerning the checking, and that we ruled in the Mishnah that the hand that engages in it should be cut off, is a checking for Shichvas Zera. Avalinian Zoiv Afhu Meshubach Kednoshim. Regarding another type of emission called a Zov emission. The Zov emission comes from males, but it comes from a situation unlike Shichvas Zera, where there is no sensitivity. And as a result of that, the discovery of a Zov emission would be praiseworthy by men, and any opportunity to discover it would be welcome. Therefore, this Tanaic source that says that the problem of male checkings arises only in the case of checking for Shichva Zera, but checking for Zov, which comes from a person's anatomy when it's in a different state than the anatomy is when there is Shichva Zera, a possibility. Therefore, in the case of Zov, there's no fear of arousal. V'afilu lein Shichva Zera, im bo livdoik b'tzor or b'cheres, bodek. And even with regard to checking for a Shichva Zera release, if he uses a tzor, a rock, a stone, or a shard, which is something that's hard and won't cause any arousal or increased sensitivity, bodek. A checking for Shichva Zera can take place as well. Let us glance at the Rashi, Dibur HaMaskel Le'inyan Ziva, a few lines up from here. Shiyotso Zoiv Mimenu, V'rotza Livdok Kedei Limnois Riyosov Shtayim L'tuma V'sholosh L'korban. A person, a male, who experienced a Zov release, and he wants to check to know the number of releases that he had. This has bearing on the number of days that he will be tomei. In other words, if he has two releases, that will cause him to be tomei for 7 days. And if he has three releases, that will mechayev him, that will obligate him to bring a sacrifice. Rashi goes on to say, Zoiv doima lemei botzek shel soirim. The nature of Zov, the quality of that type of fluid, is like water that oozes out of dough that's made from barley. Ubo mi boser hames. And it comes from an organ where it's not in a state of erection. The Shichva Zera bo mi basar chai, as opposed to the Shichva Zera, which comes from a basar chai, which is the situation where there is an erection. The ukshuro keloiven beitza she'eno muzeres, and it has the consistency of the white of an egg that's an egg that's eno muzeres, means it's an egg that's a fertilized egg. So beitza muzara is an egg that has not been fertilized. That is like a bird's egg, a chicken's egg. The Gemara continues, uve maplis loi. Our Tanaic source that we just read in the frame indicates that Shichva Zera checking can be checked out if you're using a hard material. What about a matlis, a piece of fabric? It seems from the source that a piece of fabric would not be acceptable because the source enumerated only its sor or cheres. But yet we find v'hotanya, we find in the Tanaic source boidek atzmo b'matlis u'b'chol dover shiroitze. A male can check himself with a matlis or any other medium that he wants. The Gemara it resolves k'domar abai b'matlis ova, as Abaye says elsewhere. The checking that's allowed is if it's a thick type of cloth, it won't contribute to chimum of that area, of warmth of that area. Hachanami, so too, in the source that indicates a matlis can be used, but matlis ova provides a type of thick cloth, thick material that won't cause any chimum. Vehecho itmar d'Abaye, where on, or regarding what did Abaye say what he did. In other words, the Gemara had quoted Abaye and based its answer on a teaching of Abaye. So here the Gemara wants to know where was Abaye's original teaching. So the Gemara answers, Aho desnan. Abaye's point came out in regarding the following Tanaic source. We have a long answer marking then that indicates that the next few lines where the to the immediate right-hand side of the more text you see a tuff that's been encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, these lines form the answer whereby we're looking for the source for or on which Abaye made his comment in indicating a matlis ova. So the Gemara tells us, we have a Tanaic source which reads, Hoya oicha b'truma, person was eating truma, and truma is a type of food that a kohen is entitled to eat provided he is tohor. He is in a state of ritual purity. The hirgish shinizdazu evorov, and he had a feeling that he was going to have a shichvas zera release. Hoyches ba'mosoi ubolea es hatruma. The translation is that he holds his organ, that the zera should not exit his body until he swallows the truma. In other words, as long as the zera is within his body, he is allowed to swallow the truma. He only upon the exit of the zera does he become tomei. The Gemara asks, "Oches, what are you telling him to hold his organ?" V'ha Tanya Reb Lezer Omer Kola Oches V'Amosu Mashtin. Anyone who holds his organ while he is urinating, Kilu Mevi Mabul Yolam. It's tantamount to bringing the flood, like in the flood of Noah, flood to the world. The Rashi points out that the generation of the flood, of the great flood in the time of Noah, was engaged in causing Zera to emit from their bodies. And as the Pasuk says, Ki hishchiz kol basar, and elsewhere the Gemara darshins that posuk of they destroyed all their flesh means that they were allowing themselves to have zera release. So how can it be said in this source that if a person is eating, while a person is eating truma, if he feels that zera is going to come forth, he should hold his organ? Omar Abaye, b'maklis ova, one would be allowed to hold the organ if he's using this thick cloth. It won't cause any further arousal, further heating, or which brings on the emission. Rova Omar, filu temo b'maklis raka. Rova says that in the case that we just described, someone who's eating truma, if he wants to at least solve the problem for right now, he should hold the amoth so that nothing comes out. Rava says he can use even a soft piece of cloth because there isn't going to be any difference whether he experiences chimum, increased heat now or not. Because kevan to okar, once the feeling of the zera about to exit is experienced, that's it. No more damage can be done. So all that we're interested in is preventing it from coming out in the meantime while he swallows the truma, even if he's going to be holding the organ with a soft type of fabric, which under other circumstances would be problematic. But here, since the zera is about to come out, whatever comes out is going to come out anyway right now. And as Rashi says, because of increasing the heat through a soft cloth, right now, lo nafik midi, no, nothing more is going to come out. The Gemara goes on. Ve'abaye, one can read this next line as a lead up to a question. So we're going to be raising a question based on what we've just learned. So the Gemara asks, Ve'abaye chayesh dumos ha'sufi ve'rovo lo chayesh dumos ha'sufi? Is Abaye concerned with the possibility that if you use a soft cloth, more is going to come out? And Rava is not concerned with that. V'hotanya. We have the following Tanaic source, which says, Ha l'maze doime, what is the holding of the organ like in these under these circumstances? L'noisein etzba ba'ayin, she calls man she etzba ba'ayin, ayin midamas v'chozeresu midamas. That as long, it's like a tearing eye, that as when a person puts his finger into a tearing eye, the more the finger is there, the more is going to come out. So, if we just go back over the last few lines of the Gemara, we can read with a little more accuracy, and where the Gemara presented Abaye and Rava, the question is really focused on Rava. Abaye we shouldn't read it as a question, but more accurately, simply read it as a statement. Abaye, who did not allow the matlis raka, was choshesh for increase zera by using the matlis raka. And Rava was not choshesh. Now, regarding Rava, who was not worried about the dilma osel sufi, but we have a Tanaic source that says that the aver in this situation, the organ in this situation, there is a possibility for more to come out. So Rava apparently allowed the matlis raka because he wasn't choshesh. So regarding Rava, the Gemara asks, velo v'hotanya, has it not been taught that ha lemaza doimer lenoisin etzba ba'ayin, she calls manch etzba ayin medamas, because there's some medamas? How can Rava say that there is no fear of additional zera coming out when this Tanaic source says that this situation is like having a finger in one's eye, that as long as the finger is there, there will be more and more tearing. So too, when one is holding the organ with the matlis raka, there will be more and more zera. So how can Rava allow the matlis raka? So the Gemara answers for Rava, he will tell you, kol achmumi v'hadar achmumi b'shaite lo shchiach. The fear of increased heat at that very point where he has experienced as the source termed it before, a person had a feeling of nizdazu, evorov, the chances of increase as a result of the chimum, of the heat, is very unlikely. Let's look at the Rashi, who clarifies things a bit more. Lo shechiach. So Rashi says, the source that said that paralleled the case of the organ with one's finger in an eye and additional tearing, that's where the start of the zera emission came as a result of handling the organ. She'eno ne'kar yachad. When the organ is manipulated or moved or rubbed, then the zera doesn't come out in one shot. It comes out, the more mishmush, the more handling that takes place, the more zera may come out. So, when he handles it, a little more and more comes out, little by little. However, where the zera comes out as a result of some type of feeling, some type of other feeling other than the handling of the aver, the neka kulu keechod, and whatever quantity is going to come out comes out at once, su loy moisif. By handling the organ with a matlis raka, no more is going to come out. So from this Rashi, we learn that there are two vehicles or two causes of zera to come out. One is mishmush and the other is hargosha. In the case of mishmush, it comes out little by little, more and more the more it's handled. In the case of hargosha, there's a sudden release of the quantity that's going to come out in one shot, and further handling isn't going to have any influence. And that was the case over here, hence Rava is not worried about the use of the matlis raka. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei, which reads, Kola Oichez Ba'amoso Umashtin, etc. One who holds his organ when he is urinating. So the source will tell us how we should look at that. Gufa, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kola Oichez Ba'amo Mashtin Ki'ilu Mevi Mabu La'olam. This we're labeling as source number one, because later there will be a Tanya Idach after this frame section. There's another frame section which also deals with this topic. And the Gemara later will ask, of these two sources, which source was taught first? Even though we have an order in the Gemara here, labeling them one and two, that's not necessarily the chronological order in which these sources were taught. So in the meantime, the first source, as Rabbi Elazar telling you, that anyone who holds the amal and urinates, kilu mevi mabul li'olam, it's a very bad thing, and it's as if he's bringing a flood onto the world. Amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who just spoke and said how bad it is, the rabbis raise a question. Follow, if he doesn't hold it, if he doesn't hold the organ when he's urinating, nitzotzitz nitzin al raglov, there will be urine sprinkling on his feet. Venirek kushofen, when a person walks around with droplets of urine on his shoes, it will look as if he's a kushofa. Kushofa is a person who experienced an injury, which is an injury to that area of a male anatomy, which if one has that injury, he is considered impotent. And he will appear like that. If a person who has experienced krus shofcha, his urine will dribble down on his feet. And if you have a man, let us say, that is married and has children, and people notice these droplets on his feet, on his shoes, they will then come to question the man's children as, are they really his? Because he's exhibiting signs of being impotent. So that, isn't it in our interest that a man holds the amal to prevent the droplets from reaching his feet and then causing, as the Gemara goes on to say, v'nimsa moitzi laz al bonov shein mamzerim, people will come to suspect the man's wife of having had relations and pregnancies, because she, as a married woman, was with other men. And if that were the case, her children are mamzerim. They're illegitimate children. So the Rabbonin who are responding to Rabbi Elazar are saying, wouldn't it make much more sense for a person, for a male, to hold his organ so as to preserve the dignity and reputation of his family? Omar Lehen, Rabbi Elazar says back, he says, Mutav Shitzi Laz al Bonov Shem Amzerim, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's better that people should speak ill of his children as being illegitimate. Val Yasa Atzmei Rosh Sha'achas Levnei Amokom, and a person should not cause himself to appear as a wicked person in front of the Almighty even for a moment. So that if it's a question of which takes priority, so we're more interested in a person restraining himself from any means of bringing himself to Zera Levatola, even if it's at the expense of tarnishing the reputation of his family. Tanya Idach, the second source, says, Omer Lehen Rabbi Elazar Lechachomim, Efshir Yamud Adam B'mokom Govoa V'yashtin, if there is an interest in preventing the appearance of a Krus Shofcha, droplets accumulating on one's feet, so a person can position himself on a high spot, the yashlin, urinate, so that the urine will fall to a low depth and not splash back on his feet. O yashlin bofer tihuach, or he can urinate into soft dirt, loosely packed dirt, where there won't be any ricochet or splashing of the urine onto his feet, the immediate absorption. That's if he urinates into Ofer Tichuach. And that's what we would tell a person in order to urinate in that way, and not to make himself appear wicked in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in front of the Almighty, even for a moment, by holding the organ. So we have two Tanaic sources here. The Gemara wants to know, and both of these sources featured featured Rabbi Lezer speaking, holding forth on this topic of how to relieve oneself. Hey, Omar Luhu Bereisha, which of these comments did Rabbi Lezer say initially? We had Rabbi Lezer in source 1 saying that holding the organ is tantamount to bringing a flood upon the world, and in source 2 we have him offering a solution of how to prevent oneself from appearing as a Kruz Shofcha. So the Gemara asks, Hey Omar Luhu Bereisha, which one did he say first? E lema komaisa Omar Luhu Bereisha. If one were to say that he, the first source that appears here that we labeled number 1 as the chronologically earlier source, this creates a problem for us. Balser de Omar Luhu Isura, after he states a prohibition, across the board's prohibition of holding the organ, Hodar Omar Luhu Takanta, would it make sense for him to give a solution for the matter of Kruz Shavcha? Let's take a look at the Rashi on this. Isura, Osur Lechos, Vafilu I Efshir Lo Beinyan Acher. Even if it's Efshir Lo, Afilu Efshir Lo Beinyan Acher, even if there's no other way out. Afapi Shemoitzi Laz, Yutoni Mutov Shetzi Laz. The next Rashi, Takato, Yashtin Agabi Ofer Tichuach, Demashma Di'i Leko Hani Yochas Be'amo. The source that says to urinate on a high place or soft dirt gives one the impression that if one doesn't have those options, then one could hold the organ. So our Gemara is asking, How can we explain the order if we look at these sources as they are? After it tells you an across-the-boards prohibition, would it make sense for him to teach you something that gives the impression that it is allowed under certain circumstances? Ela, Omar Luhu, Ela Ho Omar Luhu Bereisha. First, Rebbe Lozer featured what we have as source number 2. He said that first, that a person can prevent himself from appearing a Kruz Shofcha if he urinates on a high location or onto surfed soft dirt. The Omru lay, and then those that heard him asked him, Ein lo mokum vo'a v'yofer tu'ochmai. Let's say he doesn't have a high spot or soft dirt into which one would be able to urinate. What should he do then? So Omar Lahen, then Rebbe Lozer said, well, if you don't have those solutions, Mutav Shetzilaz Albonov Ayasats Rosha Ashrachas of Neamokom, then I don't have any other solution, meaning no chance of holding the organ, because it's more important for a person to maintain his personal piety in not releasing Zera than in preserving the reputation of his family. So that order would make much more sense. V'chol kach lama, what's the big deal over here? Why are we so concerned of preventing zera levatola? But nei shemoitzi shichvas zera levatola. Why are we so concerned with his not holding the amo? Is because of our concern that there's no release of zera. And you'll ask, what's the problem of that? So on the outside margin under our nose, say Mivneh, we feature a double underline, and we've written Deos al Chumras Hoitzas Zera Levatola. Here we'll have a couple of opinions dealing with the severity of this release of Zera for no reason. When we speak about Zera Levatola, it's any release of Zera outside the realm of intimacy with one's spouse. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hamoitzi Shiva Zera Levatola, Chayav Misa. Anyone who is guilty of releasing the Zera for no reason is worthy of death. Shinemar Vayera Bene Hashem Asher Osa Vayomos Gam Oisoi. In this parsha, dealing with the sons of Yehuda, sons were guilty of release of Zerah Levatola, and the pasuk says that when the Almighty noticed that the second son of Judah was doing that, he had killed him as well. So you see that a person is subject to a death penalty, at least at the hands of heaven, for engaging in this act. Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Ami, Amru, Ki'ilu Shofech Domim. One who is engaged in Zera Levatola is considered as if he himself is a murderer. Shinemar, the pasuk says, Hanechomim Bo'elim Tachas Koetz Ranon Shochate Hayilodim Banecholim Tachas Sifei Hasloim. That's a pasuk. Al Tikri Shochate Ela Sochate. Sochate is schita, is something squeezed out. So that we're understanding this drasha as one who causes zera to be released from one's body, like as one would squeeze out fruits and have its fluids released. So in the pasuk, the way it's printed, you see the word shochate, so that as a result of the sochate, the release of the zera levatola, it's considered shochate as if they slaughtered children. In other words, it's considered like murder. Rav Asi Omar ki'ilu oved avodas kechovim. The release of Zerah Levatola is tantamount to idolatry. Ksiv hocha tachas kol etz ra'anon. It says in this pasuk, which we just read, which deals with Zerah Levatola, it uses the expression under every etz ra'anon, every grand tree. The ksiv hosam, it says in the context of idolatry, al hehorim, horomim, v'tachas kol etz ra'anon. As far as where idols are found, it's found on lofty mountains and under grand trees. So we see the expression Eitz Ra'anon in both cases, hence the association between Zerah Levatola and idolatry. Rav Yehuda, Hushmuel, Havukaimi, Ha'igro, the Bekinishna, the Shof, the Yosef, Ben Ahardo. Rav Yehuda and his teacher, Shmuel, were on the roof of the shul, the synagogue, known as the synagogue of Shof V'Yosef, which was located in Nahar Da'a. Amalei Rav Yehuda L'Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, the student, says to his Rebbe, his master, Shmuel says, Sarach ani l'hashem, I need to relieve myself, I need to urinate. Amalei, Shmuel said, Shinina echoz ba'amoscha v'hashten l'chutz. Hold your organ and urinate over the side of the roof. In other words, not to urinate directly on the roof after you're dealing with the roof of a synagogue. So hold, he says, hold your organ, and we've dashed, underlined that word. That's the key point for the upcoming discussion, where Shmuel seems to say something a bit troublesome for us. He says to review to hold your organ and urinate outwards. The Gemara asks, Hechi Ovid Hochi, Hotanya, how could such a practice be pursued? But didn't we learn, anyone who holds his organ while urinating is considered as if he's bringing a flood onto the world? So how could Rav Shmuel give him such a piece of advice? Omar Abaye, Asa'oi ke boileshes. The circumstances involving Rav Yehuda are viewed under as if it's similar, as if it were similar circumstances to a troop of marauders coming to a city. Now, you'll ask, what's the connection? Here we have to learn a few more lines of Gemara to see the connection. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that seems to be unrelated to our topic, but it deals with the general topic of Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is wine that was prepared in a kosher fashion, but was misused by Gentiles in service of their idols. And this problem arises if an idol worshiper comes into contact with the wine and shakes it or stirs it or pours it out for the purpose of serving his idol. So the source begins, Boileshes Shenichnas Le'ir, an army troop that comes into town, B'Shas Shalom, when when they're coming in, let's say, simply to patrol the area, it's when it's under peaceful circumstances, peacetime circumstances, there's no pressure on the soldiers to move quickly, to act in some type of military maneuver, but rather they're entering b'sha'as shalom, when things are peaceful. Chovios, psuchos, asuros, dumos, mutaros. Open, kosher barrels of wine are rendered unfit. And sealed barrels, they, because they're sealed and there's no access to them, so they remain mutaros, remain acceptable. B'sha'as milchoma, if the troops are entering the town during an actual military exercise or military maneuvers, then elu velu mutaros, even the open barrels, means these and these, the open and the closed barrels, are mutar. L'fi she'ein lam p'nai l'naseich, since they're under they're engaged in an actual military maneuver, and not just practice, but they're under battle circumstances, so they don't have time to engage in nisuch, which is the stirring or the pouring of the wine for idolatrous purposes. What do we see from here, though? Alma, kevan de be'isi lo osi l'nisuchi, since the soldiers are fear-struck, they're experiencing battle conditions, so they don't come to do the nisuch. Hachanami, so too with our Rav Yehuda standing on the roof of the shul of Shafi Yosef. Hachanami kevan de be'isi lo osi l'haruhuri, since he is in a state of fear, and that has to be clarified. What do we mean by he's in a state of fear? But we're assuming that for right now. Since he is in a state of fear, he won't come to thoughts that might lead one to release the Zera Levatola. So that Shmuel is not risking anything by telling his student, Rav Yehuda, to hold his organ and urinate. What's the biatusa in the case of Rebuta? In other words, when we see the case of the Yayin Nesech and the military maneuvers there, it's understandable what the pressured or fear circumstances are. Soldiers are fearing for their life. They're engaged in a military maneuver, and they don't have time to engage in anything other than preserving themselves. However, Rav Yehuda on the roof of the shul, what's the equivalent fear? So here we have a series of triangles under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. They represent a Sidra, a series shel Tshuvos, to the question, my Biatusa Ika, by Rav Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Iboy Seima Biatusa del Elia Udi Igra, the fear that it was nighttime and it was a roof, so a person who's on a roof at night has more fear than he would have during the daytime, and hence there isn't a problem with holding the Amo. Iboy Seima, another possibility is Biatusa de Rabbe, the fear that he's in the presence of his master, that Rav Yehuda in this case was in the presence of Shmuel, and that causes a certain state of a sense of apprehension, and he wouldn't do something wrong. V'boy Seima Biatusa de Shechina. Another explanation is that the story took place on the roof of a shul where the community davens. Where a community davens, the Shechina, the divine presence, is there as well, so that he was afraid of. He would be afraid of doing something incorrect while relieving himself because of the fear or the presence of the Shechina. V'iboy Yisema, Eimso Demore Olei. Another explanation is that Rav Yehuda was a very pious man, and he walked around with the fear of the Almighty upon him all the time. Dekori Shmuel Olei. Shmuel used to refer to Rav Yehuda by saying, Ein ze yilud isha. This man is not born. He's not a mortal. He's not born of a woman, indicating exceptional piety, something above and beyond standard humankind. And hence, by him, I don't have to worry if he holds his amo. V'boy Seima Nosui Havei. Another approach is that he was married. The Omer of Nachman im hoyan asim mutter. If Nachman says that if a person is married, then it would be mutter for him to be oichezes ha'amo. It goes without saying that a person who's married, his state of mind and reaction to matters that we are discussing are different than a person who is not married. Hence, in the case of a person who is not married, we're more concerned with the issue of oichezes ha'amosoi. Viboyesemo, kiha ori lei. Others say, thusly he ruled or taught. Ori is a lotion of teaching or instructing. Others say that Shmuel instructed Rav Yehuda as follows. Tetoni abo brei de Rabbi Binyamin barchio, avo meseve beitzim milamato. Though one is not allowed to hold the organ, what Shmuel was saying was to use his beitzim, which are the male's testicles, which are below the organ, and by holding that and maneuvering the organ while urinating, he will solve the problem of appearing as a kruz shavcha. That area of the anatomy does not cause arousal, and hence we wouldn't have a fear of zera levatola as a result of this suggestion. Big boy Seimo, kiha oiri le de Omar Ravi Abohu, Omar Rav Yochanan. Another version of what Rav Yochanan taught was similar to that which Rabbi Avohu used to teach. Gvul geish lo me atora ulamato mutter. The male organ itself has a certain boundary on it where arousal, up till a certain point, arousal is a point of concern. But beyond that particular border point on the organ itself, there is no real sensitivity experienced, and hence there won't be any problem if one were to hold it over there. So Rav Yochanan says that there's a gvul, there's a boundary, and it's as follows. Me'atora ulamata. On a male organ that has been circumcised, so there's a ridge of flesh that surrounds the male organ close to the tip of the organ, relatively speaking. So from that ridge, from that atora, literally the crown or the ring of elevated flesh till the lamata, till the very edge of the organ, so mutter. And we're talking about, when we speak about the edge, we're talking about the point furthest from the body. So that's me'ato lamata mutter, me'atora ulamala also, but from that ridge of flesh on the male organ till the body, till the person's body, that is where it would be usher to hold the organ. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, we have a new marking and topic with structural note to take a look at. On the outside margin, you'll notice a double underline with dots in it. They represent Shnei Memros, two comments, Be'inyan Hamakashe Atzmoy Ladas, where a man brings himself to a state of erection knowingly, willingly. The Gemara. Omar Rav Hamakashe Atzmoy Ladas Yehe Benidui. One who causes himself an erection knowingly, he shall be put into excommunication. In other words, he's worthy of being put into excommunication. The Lema Osir, why not say simply that it is Osir to cause an erection? Answer, Dekomagari Yetzahora Anafshe. By saying that it is forbidden, one only is arousing the evil inclination to push him to do it all the more. Ravi Ami Omar Nikra Avaryon, one who brings himself to a kishui aver, an erection, knowingly, is considered a sinner. Shekach umnoso shel yetzarah, thusly is the craft of the evil inclination. Hayoim omer lo aseikach, today he tells you to do this. Ulamachar omer lo aseikach, and the next day he tells you to do something even worse. Ulamachar omer lo lech avod avodes kechavim, v'holech v'oved. And finally, when he gets you into a sinning mode, he then cajoles you into idolatry, and a person will go and in fact do that. Ikod Yamri, Omar Rabbi Ami. We should have pointed out that the house marking around Rabbi Ami helps to highlight the two versions of what Rabbi Ami says. And the squiggle underline under the Ikod Yamri shows a point of transition. In other words, the second lashon as to what Rabbi Ami says. So, Ikod Yamri, Omar Rabbi Ami, Kol HaMevi Atzmo Lidei Hihur. Anyone who brings himself to a point in which he is having immoral thoughts, Ein machnisin oisei b'mechitzosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is not entitled to enter the inner sanctum of the Almighty. Ksiv hocha vayera b'enei Hashem, uksiv hosam ki lo kel chofetz rosha ato lo yogurcho ra. So that you see in the Bracious Lamed Ches, Vayera b'nei Hashem, had to do with the behavior of the sons of Yehuda, which were in this realm of causing themselves to have a male release. And it says, Vayera b'nei Hashem. And in this pasuk, it says, what we just read, Lo Yegur Chara, and Omer Belozer, My Lo Yegur Chara. What is meant by that? And notice we're continuing with the gears on the outside, on the inside margin of the Gemara. What does that mean? Lo yogur b'megur ha-ra. There will be no wicked or evil in your, referring to the Almighty's, in the Almighty's inner sanctum. V'omar Rabbi Lozer, my dichtiv yedechem domim moleu. What is meant by that posuk in Yeshaya, that literally that your hands are full of blood? The Gemara answers, Elu mina'av ha-mina'afim biyad. These are people that engage in immorality through their hands. So ni'uf biyad is a reference to this general topic of causing one's causing a man causing himself through his hand and holding of the organ to come to a release of Shichvas Zera. Tono Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Sinaf, a quote from the Ten Commandments, from the Aseres HaDibros. What is Lo Sinaf taken to mean? Lo Tehe B'cho Ni'uf. There should be no act of immorality, Bein Biyad, Bein Beregel, whether one uses his hand or his legs, an indication or a reference to one rubbing his organ either with his hands or with his feet, which brings on Shichvas Zera Levatola. Tonu Rabbonan, Hagerim v'hamesachakin b'tinoikis ma'akvin es ha-moshiach. There's a Tanaic source that says that converts and literally those that play with young children restrain, withhold the Mashiach from coming to redeem us. Bishlamo Gerim, with regard to Gerim, with regard to converts, we can understand that their association with what it teaches here in the source of Ma'akvinus HaMashiach, Kid Rabbi Chelbo, based on Rabbi Chelbo's teaching, Diyam Rabbi Chelbo, Koshin Gerin L'Yisrael Kesapachas. Rabbi Chelbo says that converts present a, we'll say in very general terms, they present a challenge or they present a difficulty to the Jewish people as Sapachas. Sapachas is a reference to a to Negoyim, which is a change in skin color resulting in Tuma. But for our purposes, this phrase happens to have numerous interpretations as to what it means. So for the sake of brevity, we're simply going to say that Gerim, the presence of converts amongst the Jewish people, presents a challenge and can present a difficulty for the rest of the Jewish people. And there's a whole range of explanations that are associated with this. One of them is an interesting one worth pointing out that's found in Tosfos elsewhere, and that is that Gerim converts are very often more pious and more diligent in their fulfillment of mitzvahs than the rest of people born Jewish, and that arouses a certain type of heavenly challenge to the rest of the Jewish people, whereby we say, look here, these newcomers to the Jewish people are more diligent in the fulfillment of mitzvahs than the rest of the Jewish people, causing a sense, as we said before, a certain challenge which is not for the benefit of the rest of the Klal Yisrael. But there are a number of other explanations. We, though, are going to continue in the Gemara. So we understand that Gerim could be Ma'akev as a Moshiach because of the challenge that they may present. However, Ella, Mesachin b'tinoikis mahi, what is the reference to this? Mesachin b'tinoikis. And here you'll see we have a double underline with a squiggle underline in a design to illustrate the Shlavim in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You see we've indicated Shlavim. These are stages, Lahasbir, to explain Hodikotonia Mesachin b'tinoikis Ma'akvinis HaMashiach. So you can see the next few lines, each time a new attempt. In Lema Mishkav Zohor, if this source is a reference to homosexuality, Mishkav Zohor, where two men are conducting intimacy, well, Bnei Skila Ninu, that is an offense that is deserving of stoning. So it wouldn't be simply said as Me'akvin es HaMashiach, withholding the redemption. It's a much harsher term would be used, or a much harsher verdict, namely that people engaged in homosexual behavior would be chayav skila. So Mesachakin betinokus in this source isn't a reference to that. Elo derech evorim. Maybe it's a reference to body contact other than an act of intimacy. And during Derech Eivorim, Rashi says, "Hainu shichva zera levatola." There is a release of semen. V'eino mishkav zohor. It's not an act of homosexuality that the Torah prohibits. The mishkav zohor k'siv mishkave isha. In the context of mishkav zohor, the Torah refers to mishkave isha, which means the way man and woman copulate. And Derech Eivorim is any type of, we'll call it, body contact, but other than an actual act of intimacy. Nevertheless, that is not the pshat. That's not the explanation of this source, because that's b'nei mabul ninhu. You would describe that as someone bringing on the flood, not as ma'akvin es hamoshiach. Elo, what is mesachakin betinoikus that is associated with ma'akvin es hamoshiach? Elo dinasivi ktanos. Mature men, meaning men who are capable of procreation, marry girls that are minors and premature, meaning they're not yet mature enough to produce offspring. That's dinasivik tanis delav benois alodininu. You have men who could produce children marrying girls that are not yet of age. So that you have, in the meantime, men having relations with, they technically speaking, with their wives. They happen to be minors, but it's a type of intimacy that won't result in childbirth, in procreation. The Omar of Yosi ein ben David bo ad shicholu kol haneshamos shebeguf. Rabbi Yosi teaches that ben David, a reference to the Moshiach, he will not come until all of the souls are cleared out or emptied from the goof. The goof is a chamber. This is a spiritual idea, but it's a chamber, a location in which the souls of mankind are stored up. And the pasuk that refers to this is Shenemar ki ruach milufana yatov uneshamois ani osisi. The Rashi explains, ki ruach haruchos shelufanai, the spirits that are in my presence, shegozarti lois nelodim. Koidem Yaatov Te'akev es ha-geula Dekro b'geula k'siv. This posuk is a posuk in the context of redemption. It says, Ki loy lo'olam oriv, lo'olam netzach ech tzoif. v'chulei, etc. Uneshomois she'ani osisi ya'atoif. U'meisefe l'reishi midrash. Ya'atoif kemo v'ha'itfim l'lovon. So that this pasuk is a reference to the release of these souls through childbirth to the world, so there will be no redemption. Hence the claim in the source that one who is mesachin betinoikis, which we explain to mean marries men who are capable of procreation, marrying minor women, they are withholding the coming of the redemption by not engaging in actual procreation. Ba'anoshim tiktzatz. We said in our Mishnah that men who involve themselves with checking themselves for shichva zera, a hand that does that is worthy of being cut off. Ibay laho dino tnan oy latusa tnan. The teaching of the Mishnah, is it an actual ruling that the hand physically should be cut off, or is it a curse? Dino tnan, is it, and the Gemara goes over these two possibilities, is it a reference to an actual legal ruling, ki ha deravuna kotz yada, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, that Ravuna cut off someone's hand. And that was in the context of someone raising his hand to strike his fellow man. Rav Huna said, someone who raises his hand in an attempt to strike his fellow man, such a hand should be cut off. And the Gemara there indicates that Rav Huna actually cut off someone's hand. So that's an actual legal ruling. Oy. Or latusa tnan. Or is the expression of our Mishnah that a man who engages in this in the checking for Sheikh Mazera, his hand should be cut off in the sense of a curse. So the question having been asked, the Gemara answers, Toshma Desanya. Well, let's come in here from the following Tanaic source, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yad La'amo Tiktzatz. Tiktzatz Yodoi Al Tiburo. Rabbi Tarfon says that the hand that's La'amo is touching the Aver, such a person's hand should be cut off on his tiburo, on his literally the belly button, his navel. Omru lo, v'halo kreso nivkas. So they asked Rabbi Tarfon, well, if you cut off his hand while it's positioned over his navel, you might split his belly open and end up actually killing him. Omar lohen mutov tivka kreso v'al yirei leber shachas. Better for a person to be to have his belly split open than warrant descent into purgatory. That's the source indicating what happens in the case of Yad La'amo, which is our discussion. Iyamas bishma dino tanan. If you say that it's a reference to an actual cutting off of one's hand, so then, Hainu de Amri, then we understood the objection raised in the source, V'halo kreso nivkas, but if you cut off his hand over his navel, his belly may get split open at the same time. Elo yamis latusa tanan, but if you say that it's merely a mention of a curse, my kreso nivkas, what's the relevance to one's belly being cut open? Elo mai, so what are you saying? Dino tanan? Well, if you're saying that it's an actual legal ruling, then loy sagi dalav al tiburo, can it be done in no other way than on his navel? If our whole issue is to punish someone in an actual way for having handled the amo, and the suggestion here to cut off his hand, fine, cut off the hand, but why specifically over the navel? Ela hochi ko'omar Rabbi Tarfon. Rather, we should understand Rabbi Tarfon as follows. In other words, we're going to be rereading the source that we had just a few lines up as follows. Kol ha-machnis yodoi lamata mitiburoi tiktzatz. Here, it's a reference. The reference to navel is a reference to the initial insertion of one's hand. If a person puts his hand underneath, on the lower part of his body, namely under one's navel, so he's going to be touching or handling the organ, the male organ. Tiktzatz, such a hand deserves to be cut off. Omru lo Rabbi Tarfon, Yoshav lo koitz bekreisai lo yidlenu. They asked Rabbi Tarfon, let's say a person experiences some type of thorn that entered his body on that area of the anatomy. Should he not remove the thorn? Omar lohen lo. No, I don't want anyone machnis their hand, inserting their hand onto their flesh at that part of the anatomy, even if there happens to be a thorn that needs to be removed. So they asked, valo kreso nivkas, but if he doesn't remove the thorn, so he might, his belly might split open because of the penetration of the thorn. So that here you see the kreso nivkas, not in the context of the positioning of the hand cut off over one's navel, but rather kreson of kas as a result of the thorn that may be there. Omar Lahans, Rabbi Tarfon said, mutav tivka kresoi, better for such a person's keres, his belly, to split open as a result of the thorn being there, v'al yerei leber shachas, and not have a person be deserving of purgatory because he inserted his hand in that area of his body. Before we continue with the new Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin where we have the Nosei, Noshim Shezkukos Le'ezra. We're going to be featuring women that require assistance, Be'inyan Bedikos, regarding the checking. Now, we've been discussing quite a bit in past Dapam about the need for women to use a white checking cloth that's inserted in the in that area, that orifice, which is the orifice of procreation, in order to ensure that the woman is tahora, meaning there is no blood flow. However, there's certain kinds of women that are, we'll call them incompetent, and as a result need assistance, and they include chareshus, a deaf mute, suma, a blind woman, shoita, a person who is an imbecile, or shenitrafa daita, someone who lost their mind. The Mishnah, Hachareshis v'hashreita v'asuma v'shinitra v'daita, these four different kinds of women, im yesh lohen pikhois, if they are accompanied by women of sound mind, misaknis oison, the pikhos can check them out. Misaknis literally is fix them up, but Rashi explains, bodkos oison, check them out, and if they're found to be tameos, so then they will oversee their eventual immersion in a mikveh for tahara. V'hein oichlois betruma, and as a result of the pikhos assisting these inept or incapable ones, they can be brought to a state of being able to eat truma. The Gemara asks, chareshus ihi tivdok lenafsho. Why does a chareshus need assistance? Can't she check herself? Desanya, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe teaches chareshus hoisa bishvunosenu. There was a chareshus woman in our neighborhood, Lodaya Shebodekes Latzmo. Not only was she able to check herself, Elisha Chavroisel, Roisu Mar Oislo, her friends would show her their checking cloths, and she would rule on them as to whether the color or discoloration is a function of blood or not. So we see from this source that a chareshus doesn't need assistance. The Gemara answers, Hosam b'medaberes ve'eino shomas. That source is featuring a woman who is capable of speech but lost the sense of hearing. And it's explained that she originally had all her senses about, but as time went on, she lost her sense of hearing. But prior to that, she learned how to speak. And currently, she is capable of speech, but not capable of hearing. She is considered competent with regard to checking. Hocha, but the Mishnah that says the chareshus is incompetent, b'she'eno medaberes ve'eno shomas, she does not speak, nor does she hear. In other words, she was never in a state of full health and capability. Kedisnan, we have a Tanaic source that addresses this and says, chirish dibru chachomim b'chol mokim, the chirish individual that the sages refer to in many places as being someone who is not a ben das, who is someone who is considered incompetent, is eino shomea v'eino medaber. He doesn't have hearing capacity nor speech abilities. That's what we call a full chirish, or we can say a deaf mute. Hasuma, the blind woman, the Mishnah seemed to say that a blind woman needs someone else to check her out, to check out the blind woman. Well, e tivdok l'nafsho, why can't she do her own checking? In other words, she'll insert the white checking cloth into her body, and v'techsi l'chaverta, and then show it to someone else to establish whether there is redness on it. Why does the Mishnah seem to indicate that the Suma is totally incapable to function on her own? The Gemara answers, Amar of Yosi Rav Chanina, Suma eino Mishnah. Suma is not accurate to be stated in the Mishnah. In other words, it could, as far as an accurate version of the Mishnah, would leave out Suma. Suma does not need the pikhos for the checking. V'shenitra v'daita. In our Mishnah, at the end of the list, we saw Nitrufa Daita. Earlier in the list, we saw the Shaita. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Shaita, aren't they one in the same? Nitrufa Daita, indicating she lost her mind, isn't that the same as a Shaita, an imbecile? The Gemara answers, She Nitrufa Daita Machmas Choyli. Nitrufa Daita is a case of a woman who was healthy, but as a result of some type of illness that set in, she lost her mind. That's in contrast with the Shaita that apparently was born that way, with mentally incompetent. Tanu Rabbanan, Kayin Shaita, Matbilin Oisoi, Machilin Oisoi, Truma La'erev. A Kayin who is a Shaita, he is someone that has no mental, he's lacking mental capacity, so he can be immersed in a mikveh, and he can be fed truma in the evening after sundown. In other words, if we have a kohen that was a kohen that was tameh, so others will see to his tahara, immerse him in a mikveh, wait till sundown, and he can eat from truma. U'mishamrin oisoi shelo yishan, and they guard him, keep him from falling asleep. In other words, we're afraid that if he falls asleep, so he'll experience a heat and then a release of shichvas zera. Yoshein Tomei, lo Yoshein Tor, if he actually does fall asleep, so he's considered Tomei, and he cannot continue eating Truma. Until, of course, he goes through the Tara process again. If he doesn't fall asleep, he can continue eating the Truma. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok Oymer, Oysen lo kis shel or. If we want to ensure that the Kohen is Tahor, so Rebbe Elazar has an approach that we would make a type of sack or a little pouch made of leather, and it would be inserted around the Kohen Shoita's organ, and we would simply check that little pouch of leather and see if there's any zera in it. Omru lo. Well, the rabbis dissented from Rebbe Elazar's opinion and said, "Kol shekein shemei vi'o shemei v'li dechimun." By having such a pouch inserted around his organ, you're going to all the more bring him to a state of chimum, whereby literally heated up, or that which causes the release of zera. Omar lohem. So Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadok says back to the rabbis, he says, "L'divrechem, according to you that don't accept my solution, shaita ein lo takona, is the shaita without any salvation or any hope in being able to eat truma?" Amru lo, l'divarenu, according to us, yoshein tamei, lo yoshein tohor. Our approach is that after they immerse him and purify him, if he falls asleep, so he has to stop eating the truma, but as long as he remains awake, he's allowed to continue eating. L'dvorecha, according to you that are relying on the pouch, on this pocket, shema yiret tipo kechad v'tiv l'bekis, maybe he'll see a very small droplet of shichvazera, which will mitame him, and it will be absorbed into the particular pouch, and you won't even know about it. So your solution is no solution. Tana Mishum Rebbe Elazar Amru Oisin Lo Kis Shel Mateches. This Tanaic source features another solution, other than the leather pouch, but rather some type of pouch made of a metallic substance. Omar Abai Vishel Nechoshes. He specifies copper. Copper being something that will not be absorbent, and if there is any release of zeras, it'll be caught in this, and they'll be able to establish that he is no longer tohar. Kidesanyo, the following Tanaic source, which is in a totally different context, but it shows us that Nechoshes is a metal that won't absorb. Rebuta Omer, Royun Oison, Give Oilin, Shel Ezoiv, Kiluhain, Shel Nechoshes. This has to do with the May Pora Aduma, and Rashi gives much more background to it regarding the May Pora Aduma that is Mitame Bimasa, that if someone carries it around, this the water of the red heifer that's used for Taras Tumas Meis, if he carries around a certain minimum quantity, he becomes himself Tomei. So how much water must there be? There must be enough water for the ends of the branches that are immersed in the May Pora Aduma in anticipation of the sprinkling, enough water there for the branch tips to be immersed, and that would show that there's enough water to metame one who carries it around. So in that description, the source says that we look at the tips of the branches of the azov, which is the name of the plant, as if they were copper, something that wouldn't absorb, even though the branch itself might actually absorb. But if they were made of copper, is there enough water for the tips to become immersed? And that would be enough may pora aduma to cause tuma. But once again, we have to emphasize the expression of nechoshes is what's important for us to see it as something that's non-absorbent. Omar of Papa, Shema Mina, from this discussion, particularly the point of the prohibition of having a leather pouch inserted around the organ, we learn Mechnasayim Asurin, that pants for a man would be forbidden to wear. What's the point of pants? Pants are fit around one's legs, and they go up to the surround that area of the male anatomy. And just like we saw above that the kiss shel or is something not to do because it will bring around chimum, so too pants. The Gemara asks, well, how can you say pants are forbidden? In the context of the clothing worn by Kohanim, the Torah instructs, make for them pants made of linen to cover the Basar Erva, to cover that part of the male anatomy. So the Torah itself wants pants to be worn. The Gemara answers, Hahu Kedesanya, the Kohen pants are made as follows. Michnasei Kohanim Lamahin Doimin, what are they like? Kamin Pamlanyo Shel Poroshim. It's Pamlanyo Shel Poroshim. Poroshim are horse riders. Apparently, there's another Gyrsa, by the way, that Rashi says Shel Prushim, people that are very modest and humble. But if we keep the current Gyrsa, the current text, is it's a type of clothing worn by horsemen. Lamalo Ad Mosayim, Lamata Ad Yerechayim, the upper edge of this article of clothing reaches the midsection, the mosnayim, and the lower reaches the legs. The Eshlem Shinsim, they have suspenders, they're straps that keep them on a person's body. The Aimlem Lo Beis Hanekev, Lo Beis Ha'erva. They don't have the Michnasei Kohanim do not have slits in the clothing, in the Michnasayim, not for posterior, nor in the front, the anterior, for these slits, and would be, if they were present, they would be for a Kohen, for a person to relieve himself. Just like even today, men's pants have what's called a fly, or a part for a person to be able to conveniently relieve himself. Anyway, the Michnasei Kohanim didn't have that. The point about these pants is that they were very loosely fitting, and hence there wasn't the concern that we had with regard to the kis shel or. However, what comes out from this Gemara is that tight-fitting pants would be prohibited because of the chimum, the heating up of that area of the man's anatomy that could result. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Dalet, Omer Aleph, Omer Abayi, Roifei Gemalim, Asurim Lechol Betruma. Camel riders,
men who ride camels are forbidden to eat truma. The Rashi at the top of Daf Yud Dalit says, Rochbe Gemalim, Evoreim Mischamimim B'Tzar HaGomol U'Motziim Zera. The male organ experiences a rubbing and heating up because of its contact with the back of the camel. And as a result of that, Zera can come out. Tanya Nami Hochi, the source reveals this as well. Rochbe Gemalim Kulam Rishoyim. The camel riders are viewed as wicked. Hasaponim, people who are seafarers, Sfinas, a boat, Kulam Tzadikim, they are all pious. They live in constant fear on the high seas, and in order to survive, they attach themselves to the Almighty, and they have a sense of God-fearingness about them, hence we can term them as pious. Hamorim, these are reference to people that ride donkeys. Donkey riders, mehen rishoyin, mehem tzadikim. Some are wicked and some are pious. And the Gemara explains, Iko di amri ha de mekaf ha de lo mekaf. Some explain the distinction between donkeys that are saddled, mekaf saddled, versus those that are not saddled. If they're saddled, so they are fine. It's okay, because the saddle, which is made of wood, probably covered in leather, is a hard substance, and hence it doesn't cause chimum of the male organ. If, however, he is unsaddled, so he's going to be riding on the bare back of the donkey and cause a chimum of the aver. Rashi adds that when it comes to camel riding, it was customary to ride camels without saddles. The other possibility in making this distinction is Iko di Amri, ha de metartin, ha de lo metartin. With regard to riding of donkeys, it depends. If they are metartin, that has to do with legs spread on either side of the donkey. The common way one rides these kind of animals, that is a problem, because with the legs spread one to either side of the animal, so the organ is subject to chimum on the with its contact with the back of the animal. Hal de lomatartin, this refers to a type of side saddle riding, where the person's legs are both on the same side of the animal, so you don't have this contact that we just made reference to. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Layat Aman de Goni Aparkid. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to ridicule one who lies aparkid with his head, according to Rashi, is his head facing upwards. And Rashi explains that with a person lying on his back, so it could result in something denigrating to the person in the event that he experiences an erection, and people see this. And Rashi adds another explanation, that a person's hands may be placed on his aver, causing chimum. So the Gemara asks, Eini, is lying on one's back something worthy of being cursed? V'homar Rav Yosef, prakton lo yikra kriyashma. Rav Yosef says that a prakton, one who is lying on his back, should not recite kriyashma. Kriyashma hu de lo yikra. The objection only is with regard to kriyashma, ha migna shapa shapridomi. But sleeping in that position would be okay. So when it comes to kriyashma, there is an objection because of the significance of that particular recitation. It's not honorable to be in that type of called disrespectful position for the recitation of Kriyashma, but for sleeping there doesn't seem to be any problem. The Gemara answers, Le'inyan Migna, as far as sleeping is concerned, lying on one's back is forbidden. However, Kimatsli Shapir Domi, if he's a bit tilted to his side, Rashi says, Muta Ma'at Al-Tzido, he's tilted a bit to his side, that would be okay for a sleeping position. Le'inyan Kriyashma, however, with regard to the recitation of Kriyashma, there in fact is a higher standard. Kimatsli Osir, even when tilted to partially tilted to one side, would be forbidden. The Gemara asks, "V'har Rabbi Yochanan matzli v'kori kriyashma?" But Rabbi Yochanan, a very great Talmudic figure, he used to say kriyashma in that matzli fashion, this tilted fashion, tilted to a little bit to his side. The Gemara answers, "Shiny Rabbi Yochanan is different. He's an exception. We made an exception for him. The Baal Boser Hafi, he was exceptionally corpulent or obese, and hence he couldn't easily get up from a lying position. So we made there's a leniency afforded to people like that. But in general, as far as sleeping is concerned, no one is given a heter for sleeping on one's back. However, with regard to kriyashma, in general, as far as sleeping is concerned, on the back is forbidden, but leaning a bit to one side is okay. With regard to kriyashma, not only on one's back would be prohibited, but leaning a bit to one side is also considered disrespectful, unless you're dealing with a person that cannot maneuver otherwise. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.